So this is one of the songs that was at my commitment ceremony to my wife, Danielle, who came with me tonight. On the way over here, and right before Dave started talking, had a much different story I was going to start with. But I realized listening to Dave talk, really what I want you to know about me is I'm a rule follower, and I really want people to like me. I'm easygoing, and I just don't like to ruffle feathers. So when I was 17 and heading off to college and not sure what I wanted to do, a very wise advisor at Illinois Wesleyan told me, well, you like English, maybe you should become an English major. And I was like, okay, sounds like a great idea. And then she said, and if you take education classes and become a teacher, then you'll have a job. And I'm like, that sounds awesome, a job, great. And then she's like, you can either take a French sequence or a math sequence. And math and I did not get along in high school, and I'd taken some French. I'm like, if I can take French and never do math again, I'm up for that. And she said, and if you double major in English and French, you'll be highly employable. That all sounded wonderful. I said, sign me up for all of that. And for all my 4 years at college, I never changed my major. I stayed a double English-French major, went to France, worked in some junior high schools there, student taught in normal, in language arts. And then I graduated, and I thought, I don't know if I want to become a teacher. So I stayed at Illinois Wesleyan University and worked in housing for 3 years. I'd been a resident assistant, but I became a hall director, and I very much enjoyed my work in that. Also being a rule follower, I'd been dating this guy since I was 15, and so the next logical thing was to get married, so I did that when I was 21. So he and I started the journey at Illinois Wesleyan together, and I liked housing, but I wasn't sure if this was what I was really meant to do either, because I had zero plan for my life. I could not see the next day in front of me. And I was talking to a woman who was at a conference one summer, and she said, well, do you like being a hall director? And I said, I do, but I have a teaching degree. And she said, well, I think when you're ready to change, you'll know it. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to know about that, but okay. But in a year, when I had a freshman in my office telling me about a cockroach in a room, and I thought, I don't care. I don't care about the cockroach in your room. I don't care at all. Step on it and throw it away. I thought, it's time for me to change. I should look for another job. So just like my advisor said, I found a French-English teaching position at a school that I'd actually gone to junior high in. So I went and taught there for 5 years, and it was a wonderful place to be. It was a small town and fairly white. There were a few migrant families that came through, and I got to work with some of those students, which led me onto my life of working with diverse students. But it was the best place in the world. My son was born very early, and so that, you know, small towns, they just wrap around you, take care of you. It was wonderful. Wonderful. But a couple of years there, I thought, I don't know that I want to raise him in such a little white town. And we had an active KKK in town, but there weren't really any African Americans nearby. So they were intent on making sure that our Hispanic population didn't get housing and jobs and things like that. So I thought, I don't know. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I'd been to Bloomington Junior High School and seen their outdoor education program and their middle school program. And I thought, I want to go do that. And so I interviewed, and my very, I don't know, wise principal at the time, she's like, so you're from really small towns? I'm like, mm-hmm. And you went to Wesleyan? I'm like, mm-hmm. And you work in a really small, fairly homogenous town? I'm like, mm-hmm. So Bloomington Junior High School, it's a very diverse place. I'm like, I know. And the only thing I could think to tell her is I feel like I'm called to work with diverse students. I could not explain it any other way. And she fortunately took a chance on me, hired me. And all these things that my advisor told me freshman year were working out. Like, yes, teaching ended up being the career that I was absolutely meant to be in. And I have loved that. I have been in the same position. There's been no position. I have been in the same room for since 1998, pretty much. Had the same job. I switched from writing to reading. Not a huge shift, but I did that. But while my professional life was going along swimmingly, in 2002, I realized, graduate school's not stressing me out. I'm gay. And that threw a wrench in a lot of my plans. Suddenly, I worried a lot about, I don't know that people are going to like this plan, and I'm a rule follower. And my minister parents, I weren't sure that they were going to be okay with this, and they weren't. And so that was all really, really hard stuff. And all of that, much longer story, all of that worked out. like my family's behind me. I'm friends with my ex-husband. My son's doing great. He's 21. All of that worked out. But what I hadn't really thought about is I'm an easy talker, and anybody who knows me, I'll tell you a story, probably too much that you didn't need to know. But when I came out, I realized there was a lot I wasn't going to say anymore at school. My wife, who'd known her whole life about her sexual orientation, was very closeted and felt that throughout her educational career, there were lots of opportunities that were closed to her because of her sexual orientation, as much as she would try to hide it. So I, in 2002, just stopped talking about my personal life. And so as I was asking kids about their families, I would tell them about my son, but I would not say anything about my partner. And I left all of that. I didn't want the families of my students to be judging me as a lesbian first and worry about their kids in my classroom. I worried about that a lot. So years are going by. We had a commitment ceremony in 2004, and I told some people at work, and they were wonderfully supportive. I found a good church community, and they were wonderfully supportive. We had a commitment ceremony, and we had a commitment ceremony in 2004. We did the whole civil unionized thing, so I became civilized in 2011. And at that point in time, the people at my school, they gave me a very lovely lilac bush and celebrated my civil union just like all the other things. So now I was out to all my colleagues, but not saying anything to my students. And increasingly becoming uncomfortable with this silence, knowing that I now have students in my room who live in my community. I see them in the neighborhood all the time. They know who I live with. I have students who have two moms and two dads and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters who are part of the LGBT community, but I'm not saying anything because I don't want anyone to know. So this silence just became overwhelming to me. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do about it. And I would sit down and talk to other friends who were LGBT, and they were educators, and none of us were just coming out. We even had this diversity training at school. It was the only one we ever had, where they had you take a step forward. If you had this privilege, take a step back. And one of them was, if you're a member of the LGBT community, take a step back. None of us moved, except for one student teacher who did, like, well, okay, he's a student teacher, he's not gonna be here long. But we didn't move. And we all still remember that day. We talk about it. We left that day depressed. We're like, we can't be out at work. But in 2011, after we had our civil union, I had a student that was in my classroom, and her mom got a hold of me and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, she has two moms, but since she entered the junior high, she really has not wanted us to be known as a couple there, so one of us will be coming. And so I went up to her one day and I said, hey, you know, we kind of went off in this little office area, and I said, I just want you to know, I know you have two moms, and if you ever want to talk to me about it, that's okay. And I said, I just want you to know, my son has two moms too. She's like, oh, that's really cool. Oh, wait a minute, you? You! I'm like, yeah, me. And she's like, oh. She's like, well, you can trust me. And I'm like, oh, I do, and that's why I told you. And I wasn't going to ask her not to tell anyone, and junior high kids, they talk. I had no idea, but she never did tell anyone, which part of me was grateful for and part of me was really sad about. And I still didn't say anything to anybody else that year. Nobody's still saying anything. Then in 2013, I think it was, my wife and I decided to join the ACLU as part of the Fight for Marriage in Illinois. And at that time, we both sat down and I'm like, you know, we're going to be out, like really, really out, like really out to everyone. And she said, I know, but I really want to be married. The civil union thing is not the same. I really want to do this. And so together we did that, and we talked to the local radio stations, and we were interviewed by the Pantograph, and my wife was speaking to the Senate subcommittee in Springfield, and we were doing all of these things. And every time I got an email from a parent, I would, you know, of support and saying, oh, we're behind you and so proud of you, I would stick it in a little folder as a buffer against anything negative I might get, or I guess some kind of proof that I'm a good person despite all of this. I never, ever heard anything negative, and I don't know if my administration ever did, but District 87 has been one of the best places for me to look, work. I have been unequivocally supported by my admin all the time, and it's been wonderful. So I don't know if they ever heard anything, but I never did, and I'm grateful for that. But then, you know, in the state of Illinois, they recognized marriage through the legislature system, got to drop our lawsuit. And so then we got married, and I told my students that year about this. And then I was upstairs subbing in eighth grade one year. I teach seventh grade. And this boy comes up to me, and he says, hey, Ms. Hutton. I'm like, yes. I heard you got married. I'm like, I did. to a woman. I said, I did. And then another girl comes up and she's like, yeah, my aunt's got to get married too. And I'm like, that's so awesome. I'm so glad. And he said, why didn't you tell us about that last year? You didn't trust us with that. And I thought back, I'd been using this documentary in my classroom called Let's Get Real About Respect. And there's a boy in there that talks about these homophobic things that are said to him and how upset that made him and depressed. And we talked a lot about empathy. And this boy who asked me, why didn't you tell us about that last year, said, Miss Hutton, my church said that if you're gay, you go to hell. Is that true? What do you think? And I just looked at him. I'm like, I said, well, you know what? Lots of churches believe lots of different things. Lots of families believe lots of different things. Lots of people believe lots of different things. But what I hope is that we can still treat each other with love and kindness. So I'm just going to say, regardless of what your church believes, I hope we can still treat each other with kindness. And he said, okay. And I thought about this story as he's standing there asking me why I didn't tell him last year. And I just said, well, I just didn't want to step on anyone's toes or make them uncomfortable. And he said, but you always told us that all families were equal. Some of us live with our grandmas, and we live with our grandpas, and we live with our aunts and uncles, and you said we were all equal. Your family is equal then, too, and you should have been able to tell us about this. And I just looked at him, and I thought, these kids get it. These kids get it in a way that adults still are so slow to wrap their brains around. And I realized that I wouldn't have trouble coming out. And I still come out to my students every year. Sometimes they hear me, sometimes they don't. I tell them I have a wife and three beagles, and I used to have chickens. And midway through the year, they'll say, what was your husband's name? I'm like, remember, I said I have a wife. And a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. You know, these things I keep telling them. And some years, you know, a couple years ago, I had a little boy. When I said I have a wife, he laughed so hard he fell off his chair. And I'm like, okay. And he got back in. I went home and told my wife. And I'm like, for the most part, I'm okay with that. She's like, just go back and talk to him tomorrow. And I did. And I said, hey, you know, 47 or whatever it was at the time. And self-esteem's okay, but I was a little bit dinged when you laugh so hard you fall off. He's like, I have never had a teacher in my life tell me out loud they were gay. I was shocked. I know. Sometimes I laugh when I'm shocked. I'm sorry. I'm like, okay. And he apologized. And every year since I say it now when I talk about my wife, there's nobody laughing anymore. Hardly kids even looking at each other more. Like, just things have really changed in such a cool way at school. I work with the Gay Straight Alliance at school, and we've got kids talking about gender fluidity and wanting to go by, you know, the pronouns they and them, and kids are okay talking about this in the classroom. And I just, regardless, I know there's a lot of things out in the world that I can't change in our country, I can't change right now, but the spaces going on in our schools, and especially at Bloomington Junior High School, like, it is an okay place for kids to talk about themselves. And one of the things I told the kids at the Gay Straight Alliance a few years ago is, you've not only made the school safer for all of you, you've made the school safer for me. You've made it a place where I can be myself and be out, and where I've got another teacher who's now feeling comfortable over the last year and a half to be herself and be out and to be who we are and live our truths. So the big change in my life that I was scared of has been the best thing in my life. I am so grateful to my advisor who said you should do English and French and be a teacher. That has worked out awesomely. And I'm so grateful that, and because I know, I'm 100% certain that I was called to be a member of the LGBT community and to be present in the school so I can be a teacher and be an advocate for all of our students. Thank you.